Hey guys, so I've been getting all these crazy emails lately because I've started this whole program trying to get shredded, and I'm on one right now. So everybody's wanting to get in with this. So I wanted to see, you know, maybe we could think of a way that people can maybe get these purchased with
us. So you're talking about the MAPS Anabolic, talking about the
everything you're doing.
The Nutrition Survival Guide. Let me ask you a question. You've been doing it now for about like 4 days already? You just started already?
No, he's almost a week now, aren't you?
Week? Almost a week.
How do you feel? How do you like it?
I feel great, man.
It's pretty wild, right?
Yeah, I feel energetic and on one. Like I said, I personally flip a switch, but these programs are definitely helping me to dial it in.
So you're getting people asking about them.
Yes. Yes, because I think that they really want to see what I'm doing, and I want to be able to really describe in detail what I'm doing.
Bro, Adam, you know what we should do? Because the MAPS Anabolic Program by itself is $117. Yeah. Your Nutrition Survival Guide, $99, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we hook them up? Because people are going to want to follow along with what Justin's doing.
Here's the thing. I think for me, it's less about making the money off of this on our end. Obviously, we have things we have to cover and stuff, but I'm more excited for more people that we can possibly get to join in and go with them. I mean, if we can possibly impact thousands of people, that'd be fucking dope.
Well, if they're going to do everything, we might as well hook
them up. I'm down to definitely discount
it. Let's do a hookup. Doug, what do you think? What are we looking at? Let's put them all together in a package and give them a discount.
You're talking MAPS and the Nutrition Survival
Guide. MAPS and the Nutrition Survival Guide.
Yeah, put them together as a couple.
So people can do what he's doing, because I'm looking at him right now a week later, and he's already...
Well, no, and I'm getting a lot of people, too, that I've told that he's doing it are coming up to me, and they're like, well, can we see what he's doing, this and that? And we're like, well, we're going to talk about it, but then everyone's like, well, do you have something structured so it's easier? And I'm like, okay, that's a good point. Yeah. Right. So we'll talk about it, too, and then do it. But I mean, both programs together between our Nutrition Survival Guide and MAPS Anabolic,
it's $216.
Yeah. It's over $200 right there alone. So I'm definitely down on our end, at least.
What do you think, Doug? Can we do that?
Yeah, we can bundle those together. What do you think? 20% off?
I'm thinking, let's hook it up.
Yeah, no. Make it sweet.
Yeah, 20% off. 20% off is like that shit you see at a store.
Okay,
like,
okay. I need people to do this.
It's a Friday sale. Yeah, it's a Friday sale. 20% off. Like, they fucking give that shit away. I'm saying like half, dude.
You know what? Let me. You know what? My lucky number.
Do something good for me.
No, you know what my lucky number is? Like everybody else, 7. Why don't we? What if we did this for $77?
You got to be kidding me.
No, why not? 77?
Like 60% off.
70.
That's a lucky number, though. I like that.
$77 for everything, Doug. We're putting you on the spot right now. If you don't do this, everyone's going to be pissed off at you.
Pressure's on, bro.
Okay. Well, there's not much I can do, can I?
All right,
go for it.
$77, you get everything. To be clear, the MAPS Anabolic Program alone is extremely different from anything else you've ever seen. There's a patented trigger session concept. You've got phased workouts, and the survival guide is about as... it's about as detailed as you can get when it comes to nutrition, and it helps you figure it out yourself. It's actually the best thing I've ever seen.
I'm going to take this to the next level then, too. If you're somebody who gets on this program, gets started at the same time right now, as soon as you can, with Justin, and you guys get on there and you actually get to ask personal questions on our page referring to your program while you're going through it, it'll be so much easier for Sal, Justin, and I to be able to answer and help specifically what you're going through, because you're actually going through it.
That's a great thing.
So we'll make sure we put them on the
private, because we have a private portal on Facebook. And you can basically contact us, and you know, when we're there, we'll talk to you.
Why don't we just keep those people in there? Why don't we set that portal up to where those people are, once they purchase something like that, we'll send that private portal, and just those people can be there, so that way we're not getting confused with other questions, and we make sure we take care of them first.
Done. But to be clear, I think we should end this when you're done with your transformation, Justin.
Yes.
All right. Is that fair, Doug?
Well, I think we ought to end it sooner.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think, what do you say, March 31st. I mean, this is a damn good deal, guys.
You want to end it on March 31st?
Well, how about, can we say this? Can we not put an end date yet?
Okay.
Can we do that, Doug?
Ultimately,
Doug's in charge. I mean, let's just be honest here. He's ultimately going to pull the plug whenever he wants to. And the reason why I'm saying that right now on air is I want everybody, when they're angry when we cut it,
yeah, it's Doug's
to direct
fault.
Their anger at Doug.
It's Doug's fault.
I'm the scapegoat here.
At Mind Pump, Doug.
No, I'm going to put out one more thing. We ought to probably have a payment, like two payments of $47.
So if they want to do less up front?
Yeah, just to make it easier for people to get in.
Let's do it.
We can do that for you.
Let's do it. So, I'm go to mindpumpradio.com. It'll be right there on the front page, everything together. You purchase this, you enroll in the program, and you just follow it. You've got everything you need, literally. You have your workout, your nutrition, you follow it, done deal.
Boom. Time to get sexy as fuck.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome to Mind Pump. This is the show that puts the cock in cock-a-doodle-doo.
Bro, I was really, ever. I was really scared where you were going with that right there.
Looking at the deck. Where are you putting the cock, Sal?
Doug just went pale white right there. Yeah.
Listen,
oh, he's like, I don't even know if I can edit that out.
You're listening to Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer,
woo, woo,
and Justin Andrews.
Meow.
So let's do a Q&A. Let's do another Q&A. We got a shitload of questions on our site.
Real soon here, we're going to have to hire I don't know, between 20, 25-year-old, super hot.
Yeah, super hot.
So if you fall in that, and you need to be able to type well.
Right. You got to have some working skills.
Just type well. Type well, be super hot between ages 20 and 25.
Kind of like Vanna White-esque. So you got to like really present, these questions to us nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I'm so going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, you are.
You and me both.
No, let me just say for the record, I disagree with everything you just said. So let's start with the first question. This was from G_Rufo, R-U-F-O. So G_Rufo. His question is, how good or bad is coffee?
Coffee is amazing.
Tasting.
How the hell can you not love coffee? Yeah.
Let's talk about coffee for a second. So I want to talk about. So there used to be, and this it kind of permeates still. Although nowadays people are talking about the health benefits of coffee a little bit, thanks to people like Bulletproof Executive and right. Joe Rogan talks about it. And there's some.
The Bulletproof really sort of tried to reinvent coffee as far as like how to make it more healthy by adding fats, right? Mm-hmm. So
the old studies, and there are studies, and they're old and they're dumb. Don't look at them. But the old studies did say that tied coffee to things like shorter life expectancy. Some even tied it to cancer. Basically, they said it wasn't good for you. Here's the problem.
Yeah, I can already guess without even telling. I don't even know this study.
And I love this study.
The controllables were like, we forgot to check that they were smoking cigarettes every fucking
correct.
Day. Correct. Oh, see, I knew it was
correct. Yep. Because what did people do back in the day when they drank coffee?
Smoke cigarettes.
They smoked cigarettes. So when you remove the cigarettes
it's like
out
every
of the
punk song I've ever heard.
If you remove exactly what? So if you remove the cigarettes out of that, when you look at coffee, first of all, coffee is packed full of antioxidants. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the of all the things that you're going to drink in America, it's probably got some of the highest antioxidant levels among all things. It's right up there with some of the like really healthy teas out there.
Yeah.
Like green teas and the red rooibos teas and whatnot. So it's very good for you. And then let's talk about caffeine because coffee's got caffeine in it. Yeah. What about caffeine?
So stimulant, right? So it really depends on how your body reacts to stimulants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really what I tend to tell people, like, how do you feel when you are on caffeine?
Barring that, let's say you have a good tolerance to caffeine.
Uh-huh.
Let's say caffeine doesn't give you heart palpitations. It doesn't make you feel weird. So if you get weird issues with caffeine, don't drink coffee that's caffeinated.
Right.
But if you can tolerate caffeine, is it good for you or is it bad for you or is it neutral?
There is more studies now that have came out to talk about the pros of it than there are negative.
Right.
I actually wrote an article a long time ago. God, it was probably 6-7 years ago on this because this used to be a great subject, especially early on in my career. And I wish I had the numbers. So don't quote me on the exact numbers, but the amount of caffeine that you would have to take in one day in order to have any sort of adverse effects was just astronomical. It was something that you couldn't even do.
Did you know that they're right now they're about to change the amount of caffeine that they say you can have on a daily basis? So the government's about to come out and change the number, and you know what number they're going to say?
What?
300 milligrams a day for everybody, unless you have adverse effect caffeine, is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
300 milligrams of caffeine is a decent amount.
Yeah.
Was that 5-6 cups of coffee?
No, well, that's one large, really strong cup of coffee.
Like two, like right? Trente?
I think those have even more. And here's the thing. 300 is the guideline that they give. There's a lot of people that can take a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you right now, the number when I wrote this article way back when was way mm-hmm. more. It was like 3,200 plus, dude, yeah. was it. And you'd have to be consistently doing that. What they have found, and what also I remember reading about was There's been more effects from the actual coffee bean with your stomach lining having more adverse effects than actually caffeine itself. Mm. So it's more so there's be more adverse effects coming from multiple, so many cups of coffee, which would be a ton, first of all, coming from the coffee bean itself being acidic in your stomach lining versus the actual caffeine and the adverse effects that it plays. Because as far as what it does for your brain, what it does for energy, what it does for your metabolism, there's all kinds of
benefits. Well, right, gets things moving. I mean, it is a bit of a diuretic to some extent. Sure. So people need to realize that too. Like, you almost got to plan it accordingly.
An appetite suppressant too. Appetite suppressant.
Caffeine is also extremely good for the brain. As a matter of fact, they're now finding that people who drink 4 or 5 cups a day of coffee have a much lower risk of Alzheimer's and dementia when they get older.
Awesome.
And they're finding that it's very good for the brain. So if you want really good brain health, it's probably a good idea to have some kind of caffeine on a regular basis. And I think coffee's better than just pure caffeine, you know, the chemical caffeine, because coffee's got the other antioxidants in it. Mm. But it's very, very good for the brain. And what does caffeine do to the body? It's a CNS stimulant, so it stimulates the central nervous system. It's a dopamine releaser.
Hmm.
So you get more dopamine squirting out in your brain, and dopamine is the motivator. That's the motivator chemical. So when that comes out, it makes you want to do shit. And that's why
productivity, buddy.
There you go. That's why when you're studying up late at night and you're studying and you're having like, you know, 5 cups of coffee and with espresso shots in them, it keeps you going and it helps you to think clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really, you know, here's the thing though. I will say this. There are some people that will suffer from what naturopaths and you know, wellness experts will call adrenal fatigue.
Yes, I was going to bring up adrenal fatigue. That was the only negative thing that I've read that people have attributed, you know, high amounts of caffeine.
Yeah, if you're constantly having to drink tons of coffee just to function, you're probably having some adverse effects. To be clear, you know, it should already be an addition to your good energy. It should not be because you feel shitty unless you have some coffee, and you have to have coffee all the time, and you end up finding yourself needing more and more and more on a daily basis.
Right. You should probably cycle it out.
That's it. And let's be honest, let's be clear, caffeine does have addictive properties. In fact, it's got classic addictive properties. You do build a tolerance. And you do have withdrawal when you go off. So if you're drinking coffee and you figure, hey, look, the caffeine doesn't really work with me, and you go off, you will get withdrawal symptoms. Definitely, you'll have low energy for a week. You might get headaches. You might feel crappy. It's classical withdrawal symptoms like you'll find with other drugs.
So two ways, those that are listening is going like, oh God, that could be me, because I've been here before where I cycle on and off. And one of the things I do when I'm kind of cycling off the caffeine like that. Is I'll replace that same a little bit of caffeine still coming in my system like through green tea, and then I just make sure that I'm staying like overly hydrated. I'm drinking more water than I normally do on a regular basis.
That's a great way to get energy, by the way, too. Focus on hydrating.
Those two things are two ways that it can really help you: is staying busy, stay drinking, drink water, sip on water all day long. And then the green tea to give you still a little bit of a boost caffeine. It's probably that's the go-to spot for, you know, if it gives you enough kicks. You know, mm-hmm. I know some people that they go to coffee or other drinks to get it because the green tea isn't quite enough of a kicker for them. But, you know, if you're extra sensitive to coffee, maybe green tea is the route, you know, just something.
I'm one of those people. So I do espresso, but I don't do it every single day, or sometimes I'll do it every day for a short period of time, like a week. And then I'll switch to green tea. And green tea is a little milder. It has less caffeine in it, but it also contains an amino acid called theanine. And theanine balances out the stimulatory effects of caffeine. So if you drink coffee and it's a little too strong for you, you can even do this. You can even purchase theanine, the amino acid, take it, and then drink your coffee. And you'll still get the buzz, but you'll be less edgy. So, and as a matter of fact, you can actually buy supplements now that are caffeine with theanine. Before all my workouts, I'll take some of that, as a matter of fact, as a pre-workout kind of energizer. But I never really go over about 200 milligrams personally. So
I think nice. It's important to note, too, that a majority of your pre-workouts and things that are out there, this is the primary thing that is actually aiding those things as far as their success, as far as...
Oh, and it's a shitload. And then they throw in some other weird stimulants that are not good for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Proprietary
blend. Yeah. No, I think it's important to note that. It's also important to note, too, that, you know, because we're talking about caffeine. I know another question was related to coffee. And what we think about coffee, and now we've kind of gone on to this just whole thing about caffeine in general, is there is a difference between getting caffeine from coffee beans and getting caffeine in like a Rockstar energy drink or getting it from artificial
speedstep. Look at how much other things they pack into those things.
Yeah, so whatever health benefit you get from the caffeine in your Rockstar, whatever brain help, you know, you're gonna negate with the either artificial sweeteners or the mountain of, you know, high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. I just wanted to make that clear because I don't want people to leave our show and be like, well, you know, Mind Pump was actually, those guys were talking about how caffeine's great for me, so now I have my Rockstar.
No, I've preached iced coffee black all day long, man. Yeah, no, that's my go-to.
That is your go-to.
Awesome. Another question here. This is from Jay Batito. So it's J-B-A-T-T-I-T-O. His question is, what are our thoughts on sodium? So we've been, you know, I'm sure we've heard for a long time now that sodium is bad for you, too much sodium. You know, American government, you know, has a recommendation in terms of, you know, keep your sodium low.
This goes back to one of your favorite ones, because I know you get all fired up when we get to talk about companies coming in and actually, it's just like fat. When we went through the whole fat phase, no fat. Well, you know, all this low fat, low sugar.
Targeted.
Yeah, you know, it's like we take one thing out because, and we're going to market it that way, and then we're going to pump it with something else that's just as bad or worse for you. And then just to piggyback off of what everybody is, the trend is, and the whole sodium thing is such a fucking trend, and it's one that's continued to stick around. And I feel like the reason why it's stuck around is because it still plays a role with bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people see bodybuilding.
Well, that was the other part of his question, I think, too, is like water retention from it and like show prep kind of stuff.
Okay, so... Wow. Okay. Well,
we'll get to that.
Sal, we'll talk about the normal, just overall health benefits, the importance that it plays in building muscle. If you weren't so
so check this out. So this is
blood
off of
pressure.
This is
all
I posted this article on my Facebook page, and it's an article by Reason Magazine. It's actually one of my favorite magazines. It's very objective. And it says here, for years now, that the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention have been recommending that everyone age 2 and up should consume less than 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day. So this is what they're saying. This is the max.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so here's what's coming out. Here's the real science. In the New England Journal of Medicine, this was a study that was published in August 2014. It reported that people who consume less than 1,500 milligrams of sodium are more likely to die than people who eat between 3,000 to 6,000 milligrams of sodium per day. So the science is coming out now that this really low... sodium intake is not good for you. Now, from an athletic performance standpoint, if you go low sodium, you're stupid.
Yeah, you're sweating. Remember that.
Yeah, I know. Some elite runners, you know what they actually do? They'll take sea salt, sprinkle it into their water, or they'll take salt tablets.
Yeah, you need it.
Yeah, most of your runners, like that, your ultra marathon runners and stuff, will have salt tablets.
And we should also be clear that not all salt is the same. Your regular bleached table salt, well, they've removed everything and then just added iodine to it, actually has far more sodium in it than, say, Himalayan, pink Himalayan sea salt. And you can actually taste the difference. If you've ever tried, I don't know if you guys have ever tried them, regular table salt has more bite to it. It tastes more salty. Whereas the pink Himalayan salt, for example, it's got a different mineral composition. It's pink because it's got some iron in it, and it's got other minerals in it.
Where do you get the pink Himalayan? I've never seen that.
Oh, before. You could buy that at any health food store.
Well, but not a normal grocery store.
Actually, I found mine at a grocery store.
Like a Safeway or something?
Yeah. So,
oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's
so crazy how now regular stores are starting to get on board.
Mm-hmm. So pink Himalayan sea salt, some of the best. Another reason why it's good is it comes from the mountains. It hasn't had really lots of pollution in it, so it's pretty clean. Mm-hmm. You can get sea salt, which is probably another good option. However, you want to get real sea salt, and so you got to look at the origin of it. Where is it coming from? Those are both better options than your traditional just table salt. That's basically 100% sodium with nothing else in it, except for they'll add iodine, which way back in the day. Kids had iodine deficiencies, so the government thought it was a good idea to just throw it in salt, and now everybody's got iodine.
Well, I was going to ask you too. Like, you know, you started talking about athletes somewhat, and I was going to ask about, like, you know, how Gatorade basically came out and created their drink based off of like the need for it, because everybody, you know, down in these southern states, it was so humid. That, I mean, you just sweat and you sweat pounds off before you even got to the game. And it was a real problem because, you know, people were passing out and, you know, all these adverse effects from it. But what really is Gatorade and electrolytes? Explain to people like what, like this whole electrolyte.
Electrolytes are things that your body needs, your muscles need to contract, things like sodium and magnesium and potassium.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what they throw in these drinks. And so you're just replenishing them. And then, of course, they throw in
high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, they throw in some sugar. Now, carbohydrates, while you're training hard, will help with performance. However, the worst, probably one of the worst type of carbohydrates you want to use is fructose or high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar alcohol is...
No. You're better off with, long chain, maybe like waxy maize or, long chain polymers like maltodextrin or something like that while you're training. So Gatorade, probably not the best.
No.
Well, what's great, though, is the marketing behind that. Don't you love that, though? Because
kids drink them, but
it came around the era when, sodium's bad. So they're not going to say that it's got sodium in it, even though, let's be honest, that's really what it is.
That's the most difference.
Benefit coming there, or the quick carbohydrates that are going to convert over into sugar right away, replenish your guys' stores. Uh-huh. So that's really what's going on, but we got to find
Gatorade is not going to be a sponsor of this show, apparently.
Oh, shit.
We just canceled another one off the list, everybody.
I'm telling you, bro. We're going to get some random ones, bro.
We're going to be sponsored by, what'd you say, Trojan, Budweiser. Yeah.
It's going to be, it's going to be companies that are safe from us. That has anything to do with working out, food, things like that.
Oh, yeah, you're
probably
right.
Not going to get sponsored
by technology.
I'm going to say this right now. When marijuana gets legalized, the first national marijuana company is going to advertise with us.
They'll love us.
Mark my words. We'll run your commercials all day long.
So we talk about, Sally, and that's where I wanted to get into how important it plays in a role as far as making sure it's in your diet. Because some people think that you should always be trying to trim it out.
Right. Now, there are people, if your doctor tells you cut your sodium because you got high blood pressure and you have some health issues, you should listen to your doctor. Right. If you're a healthy individual, I wouldn't worry about it so much. If you're going to eat shitty food that has a lot of sodium in it, that's all bad for you. So let's be clear here. That doesn't mean you go grab the frozen, Hungry Man dinner out of the fridge of the grocery store, right, and you look at the back,
preservatives,
and you're like, oh, Sal said I could have a lot of sodium, therefore I'm going to eat this Hungry Man, Salisbury steak and mashed potato. No, that doesn't mean that.
A quick little note you should know too is this: if you're preparing your meals and you're eating, you can pretty much go to town, season your food, and be fine. I mean, literally, if you are making your chicken, your steak, your veal, your fish, whatever it is, and you want to season it with something, I mean, I say go to town, I mean like empty the whole bottle on there. But even if you did, let's say you did, which would be crazy, those meals that you've made yourself and you've seasoned all up is not going to compare to one fast food joint.
Yeah.
One meal out eating out fast food. And even some restaurants, because they got to preserve their food. So what do? They prepare it and they keep it in a bunch of salt, which
you got to keep the shelf life up.
Exactly. So what they do is loaded with sodium, and I'm talking like 10 times more than the saltiest meal you could ever pour on your at home meal. Oh, so keep that in mind.
You ever eat Chinese food and you're like in the middle of the night you wake up and you're like, I need water.
Yes. Yeah. So keep that in mind. If you're if this is not something, and that's kind of how I tell clients is, hey, because they ask me that, well, what about salt and should I stay away from this? And like, listen, if we're making your meals, enjoy it. Season your food. Whatever ones you like, season it.
It's most likely if you make it yourself, you're not going to put too much salt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth, right?
Yeah, it's kind of across the board. I mean, that's why I've always been an advocate of like cooking and controlling things with oils and all these things at your house. So
you just
got to consider that.
Yeah, you're right. And that exactly. And as soon as you go to anywhere out, you just assume that you've over consumed on your sodium levels by far.
Right.
Now that leads to you guys said that he actually asked.
About competing. Yes, like when guys are on stage and competing. And we know that bodybuilders, do a lot of sodium manipulation. Some of them even take diuretics,
yes.
Which will, what are they called?
This is all leading up to, what do you call it? Peak week?
Peak week.
Yeah. Okay.
So, this is a great question. And it's a great question because I do not have what I would say is the perfect answer for you, but I will tell you my experience and, what I'm going through myself personally when it comes to manipulating sodium and water. So ideally the idea is this, is that when you're getting ready for a show, you know, you want your skin to be paper thin and you want to be pretty much nothing but muscle and skin up there. You're trying to eliminate, and bones, obviously, you're trying to eliminate as much body fat, as much body fat and water between your skin as possible. Now, here's the thing. That is contradicting to what happens to the average competitor. So most competitors, this is what a peak week looks like. They eat sodium either normal or they even eat high levels of it leading up to it for their prep. When they get closer to peak week, they will start to restrict their sodium. And some knucklehead coaches actually have them do this for even longer, where they've been doing it for months on end, which is really retarded. Or, excuse me, sorry. You know what? It's really silly.
Adam's on one right now.
Yeah, no. This one gets
retract that word.
It does. I'm sorry. This gets me all fired up because it is the reason why I came into coaching, was because I saw so much of this unhealthy crap that was going on. And when I see this, it just infuriates me. So I apologize for my poor vocabulary that's going to come forward after this. So, with that being said,
fuck.
Just say moronic. Moronic works.
So what happens is they restrict their sodium to literally like nothing, you know, and they do that for at least a week and sometimes longer. And then the whole concept from the bodybuilding world is that, okay, sodium pairs with water. And the sodium pairs with the water, and then you retain water subcutaneously between your skin and your muscle, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this gives you that softer look. So this is what they would call, like when you say, oh, if you heard someone say this about a bodybuilder, oh, he looks kind of soft. Looking soft would mean that either one, he's carrying extra body fat, or he's carrying too much water in his system because he hasn't pulled it out. So by cutting the water and cutting your sodium, you're basically sucking on, you're dehydrating your body and you're pulling it all out. Now, the flip to this and the problem with this is, other than it's unhealthy, is also that our muscles are comprised of about 65 to 70% water in themselves. So you don't want your muscle bellies to be completely empty. So what a lot of these guys do is they pull all the water and then they slam it full of carbohydrates. So they fill the muscle bellies up full of carbs. So we have what's called like a load day, or possible load days leading up to it, where they're going to load their bodies with, you know, double, triple their normal carb intake. So they fill up their bodies, they fill their muscle bellies up, but then they're still not getting all the way full because the body still needs water, wants water inside there. So why I don't have this perfect answer for you is because I'm constantly playing with this. So my goal always when I compete is I'm always trying to do it as healthy as I possibly can, knowing that I'm always going to be flirting with some fine lines because it is a sport. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's not healthy for you. It's not the way somebody should live all the time. It's not something I should do forever for the rest of my life. It's not. Bottom line, it's a sport. And like any other sport, there's many things that the three of us can sit down and pick apart mm-hmm. on how it's not healthy for the body. And bodybuilding has these things. And one of those things is manipulating your sodium and water.
I think we should also be clear. Bodybuilding is a lot of, especially professional bodybuilding, the athletes are on high doses of anabolic steroids. And when you're on anabolic steroids, when you're taking exogenous testosterone, your body is holding water. In fact, in some of the first studies on steroids, the scientists attributed most of the weight gain to water, which is true. When guys will go on steroids, they'll gain lots of weight initially, especially if they take the oral ones, and most of it's water. So they have more problems with dealing with that than, let's say, a natural athlete. And you'll find more natural bodybuilders say that they don't cut sodium at all. And you'll find more of these professional bodybuilders saying that they have to really manipulate sodium. And in fact, a lot of them take things like diuretics. All the deaths that have ever happened on a bodybuilding stage were attributed to diuretics. That's mm-hmm. how dangerous it is to fuck with your electrolytes and your water. Yeah, so this is not really a game unless you're you've done this many times and you're doing it like Adam does, where he's very healthy about it and he's very smart about it. I would say don't even worry about that. Just get lean.
Oh, yeah.
And go into the show looking healthy until you really know your body, because this is not a game you want to play. Your muscles will contract and they'll stay contracted. You won't be able to breathe, or worst case, what's even worse, your muscles will fail to contract. And I've had people I've heard bodybuilders say they were on stage and they'd flex.
Collapse.
No, they'd flex and they couldn't even flex.
Oh, weird.
Their muscles just wouldn't flex. Cramped up. Yeah, or they cramp up. You know, I don't know if you guys remember back in the 90s.
When you're all dehydrated like that, you get all...
Do you guys remember the mid-90s, Paul Dillett? Do you remember that bodybuilder, Paul Dillett?
I don't.
Massive bodybuilder. Got carried off the stage at the Arnold Classic.
Froze
up. He cramped up so hard. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there was Benazzazi, I think his last name was, another bodybuilder. This guy was known for being shredded, died. Shortly after a show, because again, his electrolytes.
So I think that's a great point to put it that way. And I should have pointed out what I, you know, when we're talking about competing, I was thinking that most people are just assuming that most of these guys are on anabolics because it's pretty much how it is, especially once you get to the professional level, that, you know, a majority are messing with anabolics. Therefore, they are retaining water differently than the natural bodybuilder. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to try and do coming up in one of my next shows that I do. Because I have been playing with this. And like I said, I'm always trying to go as healthy as possible. The worst that you're going to see me manipulate sodium and water is my last 5 to 7 days. Last 5 to 7 days, I will deplete it. As of right now, I've done that in shows. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to come into a show. And I would like to go from, you know, consuming, you know, maybe 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams of sodium to reducing it. Maybe by 50% or 75%. And then just if I'm drinking 2 gallons of water, coming down and reducing to like 1 gallon of water. So at the end of the day, I'm still, you know, drinking a gallon of water. I'm still intaking, you know, 1,500 milligrams of sodium or so, whatever. You know, these are all hypothetical numbers. But the point is that I want to be able to come into a show where I still got sodium in me. I'm loaded up. I've got water inside of me and I'm hitting stage like that and see how I bone. So.
Awesome. How are we doing on time, Mr. Doug?
5 minutes in.
Cool. Yeah. We got time for one more question. All right. Actually, this is a good one. This is a great question. This is from JimGirlK846. Okay. Her question is, she says she's trying to grow her glutes. So she wants her butt to get more developed, which we support fully.
Applause.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We support
that. Huge fan of
growing the butt. She says sometimes she's sore, sometimes she's not. Are her muscles still growing when they're not sore?
So many good points here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Soreness is a...
That's not the indicator.
It is a horrible indicator of exercise effectiveness. Well, it is not a good indicator. It doesn't really tell you much at all except for that you damage some muscle.
Well, it actually does tell us something. It's technically a sign of overtraining.
It could be.
Unless it's like a very new stimulus and like, you know, you haven't experienced that before, but yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll tell you something right now. Like, I work out at a pretty advanced level with weights. I work out all the time, lifting heavy weights, doing this and that. I rarely ever really get sore. But if you threw me in a swimming pool right now and had me swim for an hour straight, yeah. I guarantee you I'd be sore the next day.
That's what I mean. Like, I was doing as stupid as this sounds, the Wii boxing when that came out, right? So I'm like doing that, you know, just, I hadn't been doing any movements like that and I was sore in my rhomboids. Yeah. It was pretty pathetic.
Which is also why I find it very important. So let's say let's use glutes since that's the example here. And, you know, you're coming out the gates, I'm designing a program for you. You know, the very first time we train your glutes and we go do squats or whatever, I may do just, you know, five sets of squats and call it a day on your glutes and see how your body responds to that. And then progressively start to move you up, or like what we do in the MAPS program where we do trigger sessions and other ways to stimulate it. But I most certainly am not going to come out the gates and give you 4 different exercises at 4 or 5 sets mm-hmm. each.
Yeah, that's a gauge you kind of have to find and set it.
Yeah,
you know, keep it a little bit lower in the beginning.
Keep
for sure.
That in mind. Yeah, the harder intensity and how sore you are is not a reflection of your results. In fact, I believe it's. I mean,
do you even get sore? I mean, on a regular basis.
I tend to get a little bit every now and then, and of course
that's what I mean. Like, you train hard and you get sore a little here and there.
Yeah,
little
bits.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say I get very sore anymore.
I get excited. Right. I get excited if I do. You know, it's like, oh, I found something new. Yeah. Like, my body wasn't used to that. So I am kind of contradicting myself as I'm telling you that it's not an indicator of a successful workout. But, you know, when you're rarely ever sore, like I'm hardly ever sore.
Well, you're also mental. I mean, we all are in here, I think. So. Yeah, we like that pain. Yeah.
But, you know, the glutes, I think some of the biggest issues I see with clients of mine that are trying to build their glutes. Number one, is they normally have some sort of postural deviation or limitation due to...
They're not sending a proper signal there.
Yes, they're not activating...
There's no neuromuscular pathway.
Sleepy glute syndrome.
Your glutes, okay, your ass, is the biggest, strongest muscle and the should be responsible for a majority, if not all, of your leg
lower extremity movement. It's also the most beautiful muscle of all muscles. If you list them in order of beauty,
which is why
glutes would be the top.
You should address it that way. You should take care of it, and you should, and this should be a focus of yours. But getting yourself back into proper neutral alignment and then learning and understanding how to engage the glutes through your movements is probably the number one thing. Rarely ever did I get
what's interrupting that signal. You know, you gotta find out and correct it, and you're gonna get a much more effective workout out of it, where you're gonna actually feel the difference. Like you're gonna feel that stimulate and then activate, and now once you're engaged, you know it changes the whole workout. Yeah, fires. It picks up, you know, when you need it.
This is actually really close to home right now. So, and my girl, I know she doesn't like it when I talk about her or bring her up, but she's such a good example.
But you're going
to
do it anyway.
I am going to anyways. So here I go. She's a good sport. So she's a collegiate level athlete. So she played basketball. She's been pretty fit most all her life. When we first met and we got done tanked, we've got a hydrostatic weigh, for those who don't know what that is, a real accurate way to find your body fat. She was like 14%, and she always hovers between anywhere between 10 and 14%. So
that's lean.
Yeah. For a female, it's very lean.
That's really lean.
Yeah. Now, if you were to ask her, and I hope she's okay with me putting her, insecurities online or putting it out there to tens of thousands of people to hear, but
we'll ask her permission after.
Well, when we first started kind of working out together, and I don't like to I don't work out with my girlfriend. I don't like doing that, but, you know, of course, they at one point they finally start asking questions of like, you know, well, if I wanted to do this or if I wanted to do that, what should I do? And then the first time as a trainer, you give them their advice and they don't fucking listen to you because it's just how it works. They still are caught up. Doesn't matter how smart you are, what they've seen you do with your body. Even someone as close as someone like my girlfriend or a family member to me, they still have all the stupid things that are caught up from everything else that you hear.
On a side note, like how aggravating is it when you're in the room, everybody knows you're a trainer, and they start talking about like some kind of program that they're doing for fitness?
Yes.
Oh, I squirm in my seat.
It happens to me all the time. And it actually...
Katrina, cool story, bro.
Yeah. Katrina has to like pull me back every now and then because I get very irritated with that because it's like slapping me in the face. It's like, really? This is what I do for a living. I like to think I'm pretty damn good at it too. Yeah. And then you're going to sit here and talk to me about some bullshit program you found online or what like that. Like, it's like, really? So anyways,
sorry.
So she's just like anybody, any other client or someone I've had where I'm telling her like, okay, this is what I want to do. You know, we're going to do some heavy deads and squats and these big compound movements and heavy weights and low reps, 5 reps. She's looking at me like, no way. She's like, you have no idea. Tell me, I have no idea how much muscle I build. I touch weights and I get all big and bulky. And I'm like, listen, first of all, one, you've never had me design your program. Two, we're not going to be eating that way. You're going to be eating differently, but I'm going to have you training that way. You'll be amazed what happens.
Well, let's be clear. We've never had a client because we hear that shit all the time. You don't know how I build so much muscle. I can't build. Yeah. Listen, you're not going to work out with me today and wake up tomorrow looking like Arnold. First of all, if that happens, I want you to fight. This is great. We should have kids because your genetics are amazing, but that's impossible.
And like I told her too, I said, listen, if you ever feel like you're getting too muscular or hard, it's real easy to fix. We'll just skip the gym for the week and we'll have some donuts and you're going to be just fine. You'll lose that hard look real quick. So, but anyways, when I'm talking to her, I'm talking about her training and making sure that, you know, now we're like sculpting her body and she's never trained that way. So this is just all new ground, you know, new ground and understanding. And with the squatting of the day, she's a strong squatter. She can squat 2 plates and she's getting under there and she's actually got really good form, but she has room to probably go about 4 inches or so deeper, you know, and really get some serious glute activation. And I'm telling her, I'm like, listen, one, you don't have to listen to all that hoopla where you're ass to the grass, where you have to go all the way down the ground, but you definitely want to make sure you go all the way down to get that full stretch on the glutes and fully engage them. And she's been doing that. We're like, literally, she's doing maybe, I think she got up to 145, 185 range the other day when we were pushing some weight. And she's looking at me like, I've never felt it in my butt like that. It's always been in my quads. Yeah. It's always been in my quads, my hands. She always feels it.
Never got that depth before. Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't activating it.
Well, two real quick points before we sign off is, number one, those ass machines in the gym, don't use them. They're a waste of your fucking time.
Garbage.
When you're on your hands and knees and you're doing the butt kickback or whatever. Okay. Is your muscle activating? Yeah. But you're so much better off just doing some squats.
Yeah. Save that for your trigger session.
That's right. And number two, when you're doing your barbell squats, Have someone watch you from the side, and if your tailbone tucks at the bottom, your glutes are not firing properly, and it could be a tightness issue, could be a weakness issue. So you want to maintain the stability of your spine needs to stay the same from the top to the bottom of the rep. Go down as low as you can before your form breaks down, and then you're set.
Right? I actually have a picture of that on my Instagram, maybe 2-3 months ago. I don't know what it was. Where there's a
well, I have a video on the team level up too on a proper squat. If you can scroll down to the bottom, you'll see, you know, angle wise
what that looks like. I actually use a PVC pipe and I run it down the back of a client's back and their head, and I want them to feel the PVC pipe on the back of their head, on the center of their shoulder blades, and then back down by their hips. And then their goal is why they squat is they need to keep all three of those points intact with the PVC pipe as they come down.
That's beautiful.
Right. And it's crazy. Just by them focusing like that, it just forces them to keep their core tight. 3 points
of contact.
Neutral. Yep.
Yeah.
Those 3 points of contact, and then you'll have a nice perfect squat. There was something else though I wanted to point out though with the whole squatting thing is think of it like this. Your butt is no different than a guy who comes to me and says, I want to build my biceps, Adam, or I want to build my chest. I want a bigger chest. I want a bigger, fuller, rounder chest. That's what you're saying to me when you say you want a butt. You want to work on your butt or you want to build a butt. It's the same concept. Therefore, there are two major things that are going to aid in this is eating in a surplus. You don't have to be crazy over the top, but you want to be eating a little bit in a surplus and then not be afraid to train heavy. Five reps, heavy weight, and pushing the body to where you are going to start getting into those slow twitch fibers that you normally would be using doing all your 15, 20 reps, your butt kicks, and those things that the boys were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
So do not be afraid of eating a little more, and do not be afraid to hit the squats heavy and hard.
Yep, and go ahead and send your before and after ass shots to sign off.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.